This morning's passage is a difficult passage to preach on. You have to study this passage in order to get the full flavor of what is actually going on in this passage. Because at first glance, it looks like Jesus is calling this woman a dog. But he's not. So let's talk about this passage. And I want to first talk about the subject of judgment, of judging others, of judging others. As a little boy, and even as a teenager, our family used to go to Van Horn and Sierra Blanca, Texas. Born in San Antonio, summers would go over there where my mama grew up, born and lived, as a young woman, and we'd visit with all my cousins, right? I had a bunch of cousins. And there were four boys. I was one of them. All within 2 years of each other. So one summer, we went to Van Horn, Texas to vacation and visit my grandfather. And my grandfather was somewhat of a businessman, and he owned a greater part of a block off the square there in Van Horn, Texas. And one of the things that my two uncles owned was a bar, a neighborhood bar. And one day, my three other cousins, James, Michael, and Sammy, and I did, is that we went to the bar and asked my uncle if we could play shuffleboard, all right? It wasn't the ones with sticks on a deck, a boat, you know, right? It was on a table, right? Sawdust, thank you. And so it resembled more like demolition derby more than an actual game, right? You know, we're knocking each other's pucks off the table and all that stuff. We didn't care who won. We just wanted to do that. That was big fun. And my two uncles, Uncle Mike and Uncle Charlie, who owned the bar, would allow us to drink Cokes and eat peanuts. So between the four of us, we drank those big Cokes, right? You know, back then, there weren't any germs or any backwash. We didn't worry about that, right? We shared, right? And we shared peanuts and all that good stuff. And it was just big fun. We just had big fun. First time I went to that bar, I met the bartender. And he was what we would call today a little person. Now, I had read Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and I knew that little people had special powers, right? I'm just saying. He was also a hunchback, but he was the nicest guy. He was the nicest man, but I was judging him at 8 years old. I was judging him. I was gathering opinions about him. Last Friday, my first puncher game, I enjoyed it more than watching the Dallas Cowboys play the Philadelphia Eagles. Just saying. Enjoyed it very much. Enjoyed seeing some of our youth and children play. Oh, that was great. You know, it was just wonderful. I enjoyed shouting and rooting and you know, congratulations. What a wonderful thing to see the people on the Mason stands cheer the Johnson City Band, right? And again, Amazing Grace, Bobby Helmichek, you know, directing that first verse of Amazing Grace. I was inspired. God's grace is amazing. And it was wonderful to be there and to eat hamburgers and hot dogs and RC Cola and it was just grand. But I got there at 6 o'clock, and I was watching the Johnson City Eagles football team warm up. I was sizing them up. I was judging and forming opinions on them. Are you with me? You may have started to judge me about my story of my uncle's owning a bar and me playing shuffleboard in that bar. You may have started forming your own opinions about that. Friends, we judge every day. We judge bananas. When we go buy tires, we judge the tires. We gather our opinions about them. Whenever we see somebody texting and driving, we judge and have our opinions. We form our opinions about that person. When somebody runs a stop sign, we form opinions about them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, "Do not judge, lest you be judged the same way." You know, the way that we judge, like I did that Lupe, the bartender, and the Johnson City football team, is not what Jesus is talking about. You see, when Jesus said, "Don't judge," what he was talking about was that when we judge in a way that condemns the worth and value of another human being, Jesus is saying that when we pass that kind of judgment on someone else, we will be judged the same way. We will be judged the same way. So Jesus is saying, don't judge the value and worth of another human being. Now we'll judge somebody so that we can be safe. We'll gather opinions so that we can navigate ourselves in a different landscape. But me sharing my story about my two uncles and the bar that they owned is an opinion. It's just an opinion. It's just an opinion. Jesus did not judge the Syrophoenician woman. Did not. He did not judge the Syrophoenician woman when she came and asked Jesus to heal her daughter from demon possession. He said to that woman, he said, when she asked him to heal her daughter, he said, "It is not fair to throw the children's food to the dog." To which she retorted, "But even the dogs eat the food that fall from the master's table." Jesus said, "Good answer. Good answer. It will be done. Your daughter is well." What's going on in this passage? Well, let's take a look at Jesus' life. Let's take a look at his ministry. Jesus' Bible was the Old Testament. And Jesus knew the story about Jonah, and as in Jonah and the whale. God ordered Jonah, a prophet, to go to Nineveh and to tell that wicked nation to repent of their sins. And Jonah said, "No, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm not going to do that." And so he tries to go to Tarshish. He goes the other way, and then the whale, so forth and so on. So Jesus was understanding of the fact that the message of God isn't just for the Israelites, it is for everybody. Jesus also healed the Roman centurion's servant. Remember that story? Preached on it a couple of Sundays ago. He healed his servant. Jesus also associated with the least, the last, the lost, the angry and forgotten people of the community. Jesus ministered to the pushed down, pushed out, and pushed around of the community. Jesus understood the breadth, the height, and the depth of God's love that extends to all people. So to come to the conclusion that Jesus was being racial or prejudicial or sexist to this Syrophoenician woman, and by the way, Syrophoenician means that she was from Syria, and this woman broke all custom of going up to speak to a foreigner, another man, was verboten, was wrong. You just didn't do that in that time. To assume that Jesus did that is false. There's something deeper going on here. There's something more precious that is going on in this story. And we may not get the full understanding of what that conversation was like between Jesus and that woman just by reading it. But what we can conclude is this, is that Jesus came into this world that we may have life and have it abundantly. Thus reads John 10, verse 10. Jesus came into the world that we may have life and have it abundantly. And sometimes there are things that happen in our life that steal that abundant life. There's hardship, there's difficulty, there's loss of health, there's suffering in the lives of people that we love. There are wars and rumors of wars. There's conflict in the community, there's conflict in the nation, there's conflict in the world, conflict in our own selves that steal that abundance. What is abundant life? Well, it's not a nice house, it's not a fancy car, it's not kids who behave well, though that's a good thing, you know. Okay? It's not beauty, it's not status. That's not abundant life. Abundant life is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Abundant life is a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is the teacher. Jesus Christ is the master. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And through obedience, we follow Jesus that we might have a relationship with Jesus. That is abundant life. That is abundant life. The relationship that we have with Jesus. Now, there are four things that get in the way of abundant living. Four things that get in the way of abundant living. The first is fear. Fear. Fear can be a good thing, right? Fear can be a good thing, right? You know, fear makes us awake and alert. It's a reasonable thing, right? There's things that we should be awake to. For example, telling a child that the stove is hot. Crossing the street. We teach children these lessons, important lessons. Buckle your seatbelt. Be safe, be awake, and be aware. A fear that is unhealthy is a fear that should not exist, that puts our trust in things other than God. The other is anger. Anger gets in the way of abundant living. Now, anger can be a healthy thing. There is such thing as a righteous anger, the scripture teaches us. Righteous anger helps us to be able to have the energy and the wherewithal to confront injustice when we see it. Unhealthy fear is one that consumes us. An unhealthy fear is one that consumes us. An unhealthy anger is one that makes us say things, to do things that are wrong and false and bring division in people's lives and in community. The third thing that gets in the way of abundant living is pride. Go Punchers. That's good pride. That develops the ego, right? Pride in our children, right? Pride in our church, pride in our country, pride in our flag. Pride is a good thing. It develops the ego. It helps us to affirm those things that are important to us. Unhealthy pride says that I know what's better for you than you do. An unhealthy pride says that my way is the best, by gosh and by God. and I'm going to execute my way at your expense for my benefit. All right? And the fourth thing that gets in the way of abundant living, abundant life, is politicizing. We politicize everything. We politicize everything. And when we politicize, they create fear and anger and pride. And I'm going to give you an example. When I was in Laredo, there was a Spanish-speaking Methodist church there. And I made friends with this family from that church, and the parents were undocumented. The children were not. They were born over here. I developed a relationship with this family, and I hired a young man to cut my lawn and hired the wife to clean the inside of the house. I needed the help. You know, I did. Now, the wife and the husband had a 4-year-old son who asked if she could bring him when she cleaned the house because she didn't have childcare. And I said, of course. So our 4-year-old son would play with their 4-year-old son. Are you with me? This went on for a good while. One late night, between 10:30 and 12:30, I got a knock on the door. I opened the door, and there this couple held in their arms their son, the 4-year-old boy, who had a raging fever. Had a raging fever. And they came to me asking for help. What do I do? I'm sorry, y'all are undocumented. I can't help you? No. I had a relationship with these people. I knew that little boy. I knew that little boy. I fed him peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I gave him birthday presents and Christmas presents. I had a relationship with that boy, and I saw the parents holding that child crying and his eyes rolling to the back of his head as he was soaking wet with fever. The Methodist Healthcare Ministries, the same people that support our Wesley nurse, Aunt Garth, here at our church, has a clinic in Laredo, and they don't ask you for your documentation and your paperwork. And I said, you need to go over there and take that baby right now. They knew where it was, and they will help you. And they did. They gave that child all the fluids that it needed, the medication that that child required to get well, and calm the fears of that mama and that daddy. We can't politicize things to the point that they break relationships. We can't politicize things that create issues that create fear, that create anger, that create pride to the point that we become disobedient to the teachings of the gospel. We can't. What does it look like for us to be ambassadors? What does it look like for us to be witnesses? What does it look like for us to share the gospel, to be brave disciples of Jesus Christ, to go out into this world and to do the kind of thing that Jesus did for this Syrophoenician woman that was so controversial at the time? Well, that's for another sermon. It's so important for us to use our gifts and graces. And you know what your gifts and graces are. I know you do. I know you know what your strengths are. All right? I know you know what you are good at. You know what you were good at and to use those, gifts and graces to be a witness of God's saving grace, of God's power in the world that redeems, restores, and heals. And I can just imagine, I can just fantasize in my heart of hearts that if we were intentional, all disciples of Jesus Christ were intentional about that, that we could bring about God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven when we pray that beautiful prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to. So today, this week, consider what it means to live life abundantly, share abundant life, abundant living. And all of us wrestle with those four things of fear and anger and pride and politicizing. I do. So that we may not break relationship as Jesus restored that relationship with that Syrophoenician woman. May it be so in your life this week. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.